it's not much of a race. Like Washington 6-4 is like just skidding along, and their last few games have really made a push, but it's a playoff crawl. And I'm doing research about this episode and thinking like, I'm not really trying to figure out who deserves to be in the playoffs the most. It's like who deserves to be out of the playoffs the least.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 204 of the Boys in the Booth podcast. Cody, Abrams, and Melbourne with you for this one. And guys, we continue down the final stretch of the NHL season. Hard to believe that we're in late March, but the playoffs are going to be here before we know it. It's great that we have a playoff race in the Eastern Conference. No one seems to want to pick up that second wild card spot, especially. That is what we're going to be focusing on for this episode. Again, 204 of the podcast. But before we get into all that, how we doing?
Well, Harp, I thought I'd be doing a lot better at this time of year in terms of NHL fandom. I thought the Devils would be way in the playoff race or already clinching at this point. And they'll probably not make the playoffs now. So could be better on that front. Also, thought I was going to be golfing soon, but there's snow on the ground right now. So let's push that back a couple more weeks. So doubling up.
Yeah, what exactly is going on with the weather right now? I'm staring at snowfall as we speak. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, I feel like a week ago it was, you know, 15 degrees, and now all of a sudden it's 1 degree here as I look. So that's crazy. Doing well, boys. This week is the first week in our Fantasy Hockey League playoffs. So congrats to everyone who made the playoffs. Case, you're included in that. Harper and I are not. So this should be an interesting week for you and everybody participating. I'm only participating in my other league's playoffs. And of course, they start this week. And of course, for the first two games of this week out of four, I'm without my star scorer. Well, fantasy scorer, Mitch Marner. So that's just absolutely fantastic for me. Don't know what's going on with Mitch. I think it has something to do with the ankle, but without him, and I could be bounced in the quarters because of it. So get healthy, Mitch. Need you late in the week.
I feel the same way missing Thatcher Demko right now. Like, that couldn't have come at a worse time.
Yeah, it's just brutal when, like, you ride a guy all year. He's your superstar, and then, oh, last two, 3 weeks of the season, he's out with something. So couldn't have come at a worse time. But other than that, boys, doing pretty well. I will say, when doing research for this episode, we're talking about the teams who could potentially make the playoffs, squeak into that last wild card spot in the East. There's a bunch of teams vying for that one spot. I noticed something pretty depressing about the Maple Leafs. And here's the stat: of all teams who are currently in a playoff spot in the East, the Leafs have the worst penalty kill percentage of them all. And that's shocking to me, but I just want to say, I want to go on record again. I hate the way this team is constructed, and maybe if you kept a penalty killer or two in the offseason, it would have been okay. But that's just my spiel on the Leafs before we get into the episode.
But Chad, they're grittier.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. I'm glad we have Ryan Reeves.
For two more years.
Yes.
After this one. anyway, doing good, boys. The hockey is fantastic this time of year down the stretch. You know, every night feels like it's a playoff game, especially for my club right now. Case, I know you're in the same boat with your Devils. And again, it's just great to see a race. That's what we want to see, right? And so that's what we're going to get into here, which teams could make the playoffs, or we think have the best chance to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So let's just take a look at the standings, and took a little screenshot here of the standings currently as we're recording here, and these are courtesy of ESPN. So you've got Boston, Florida, Toronto, the top three in the Atlantic, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and the Flyers, who are barely hanging on to that third spot in the Metro. And then it's really interesting from there. So in the two wild card spots, as of right now, The Tampa Bay Lightning at 78 points, Washington at 75, despite having a minus 27 goal differential. What they're doing is just amazing. So they're in a wild card spot right now. Then you've got Detroit, who's a point behind the Capitals. The Islanders, who are 2 points behind the Caps. Buffalo is 4 points out. Pittsburgh at 69, 2 points behind Buffalo, and then the Devils a point behind Pittsburgh at 68 points. And that is really it for the teams that are remaining in the mix here in the Eastern Conference. So we're going to go into this and go into two teams that we think will make it into those wild card spots. And Chad, I know that you wanted to share the money puck numbers from today for teams and their playoff chances as well.
Yeah, I'll do that. But first, I just want to clarify, too, when sorting by points percentage, the Islanders are actually just right behind the Capitals, and yes, the Wings are behind them. Then it's Pittsburgh, then it's Buffalo. So just for order's sake, that's how it sorts by points percentage. Of course, as we always say, you still have to play the games. Yep. But at this time of year, that's just how it's shaking out right now. In terms of percentage chance to make the playoffs, this is what Money Puck has for all of the teams that we've mentioned so far. Tampa Bay, who is sitting in that first wild card spot, who has 78 points in 67 games, they're sitting at a 98.3% chance to make the playoffs, according to Money Puck. That's why we're focusing only on the Metro Division. That third spot in the Metro is up for grabs, seemingly, and the second wildcard spot is also up for grabs from a team either from the Metro or the Atlantic. So Tampa Bay, 98%. Philadelphia, sitting in third in the Metro, has a 77.6% chance. Washington, 53.4%. The New York Islanders, 25.9%. Detroit, 21.1%. Shocking. We'll get into that. Pittsburgh, 9.3%. And Buffalo, New Jersey, tied at 7.2% chance to make the playoffs. So, boys, I wanted to do this episode just so we could talk about the teams who realistically have a chance, because, you know, we always talk about American Thanksgiving, and if you're out of the playoffs by about 4 points at that time, it's really tough to come back and make the playoffs. We've seen a few teams go on heaters and do it, but at this point, if you're more than a point or two out of the picture, it's really tough. So, Case, those are all the odds. I see you wanted to jump in. Where do you want to start here?
Yeah, just kind of so we can move completely away from Tampa, just to shed some light on why they have like 98 point something percent odds. Their remaining schedule is a walk in the park. It's the 27th or 26th most challenging schedule remaining. They play Boston, Vegas, LA, and Toronto twice. And then there's San Jose, Anaheim, Columbus, Ottawa, Montreal, and Buffalo. So there's a lot of teams they should definitely handle there going down the stretch. Plus, they, you know, they bought at the deadline. They added Duclair and Dumba. So all things are pointing towards them making the playoffs, so we can just kind of move away from them.
Yeah, that's really true. And just looking at this, like, I wanted to dig in a little bit to Tampa, but not really, because we're not focusing on them too much. But I looked at their last 10. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10. I looked at their power play percentage. They're first in the league, which shouldn't shock you, I guess. They still have weapons there. They're the 10th best PK. It seems like everything for Tampa has started to go right after sort of a rocky start. I don't know if you want to call it a rocky start, but Tampa, I think, is pretty safe at this point. If I'm a betting man, which we are, we're putting Tampa in that first wild card spot. And then after that, it opens up.
Yeah, and I've got to make one more point before I get into like team specific things. I've got to be the bummer here, I think. I know it's in Harper's DNA to hype things up as a radio man and as a media member and all of these other accolades or hats he wears.
A writer now.
A writer, yeah. He's got to hype things up and call it a playoff race and how exciting it is. But man, I'm calling this a playoff crawl at the moment. Like, if you look at the last 10 games of the teams that are fighting for playoff spots, Detroit's 2-8, Pittsburgh's 3-6-1, Philly's 4-5-1, the Islanders just lost, Buffalo has gone on a nice little 6-3-1. I'll call that. You know, that's what's getting them into the race. It's not much of a race. Like Washington 6-4 is like just skidding along, and their last few games have really made a push, but it's a playoff crawl. And I'm doing research about this episode and thinking like, I'm not really trying to figure out who deserves to be in the playoffs the most. It's like who deserves to be out of the playoffs the least.
Like we're trying to pick the frauds, right? They're crawling to the finish line. It seems like nobody wants points, especially Detroit, who's been on a just terrible stretch here.
But so Detroit, let's get into it. I've got Detroit making the playoffs.
Okay.
Let's talk about Detroit.
Is that where you want to start?
Okay. Yeah, why not? Everyone keeps talking about the seven game losing streak, which fair enough. But you know what happened before the 7-game losing streak? A 6-game winning streak. And this team all season has been streaky. They win 3, they lose 2, they win 5, they lose 4. It's like all over the place with Detroit Red Wings. So if you look at it that way, all things are pointing towards them bouncing back here and starting to win games. And they play some teams that they've had success with against so far this season, one of them being Washington. They play them twice. They beat Washington 3-1 earlier in the season and then 8-3 a couple of weeks ago. And those 4 points are so valuable. When I look at the remaining schedule, it's like really Washington is going to determine who is in the playoffs based off who they play. If you look at their remaining schedule, what they have the second hardest schedule in the league, and if you look at what's called the easiest opponents they'll face, Ottawa and then Buffalo twice, who is very much in the race and very much fighting right now, Penguins, Detroit twice, and Philly. All of these teams are going to be tooth and nail in all of these games, and Washington has to play them all. And then on top of that, they've got Boston twice, Winnipeg, Carolina twice, Toronto twice, Tampa once. So it's like it's in their hands. Like they can win, they can screw teams, or they can lose. Sounds obvious, but it's really going to shape the playoffs based off Washington's schedule. But when I look at Detroit, I like who they're up against. I like their team still, despite them not really buying and them being on a skid mark of a losing streak right now. I still think that they have what it takes in their goal scoring ability. And, you know, maybe a goalie gets hot, whatever. I still think that they're one of the better teams out of this list.
Yeah, that's fair. And when you look at the goal differential too, that's something that I focused on. They're really the only team in this race, in this hunt, that has a realistic chance of making the playoffs, who has a positive goal differential of plus +3. You know, like you look at Philly, even sitting in that third Metro spot, they're a -6 as of today. Washington, -27. The New York Islanders, a -20. And Pittsburgh, even -2. So, you know, I can't remember the last time a team who was -20 or below made the playoffs. You know, like maybe you know, I'd have to do some digging, but maybe the 2021 Montreal Canadiens, like maybe, because they played in the North Division and had some tough opponents. But that'd be something interesting to look into. But that was one stat that I looked at, and I was just like, one of these things is not like the other, and it's the Detroit Red Wings. They're on a skid right now. They're not going well, but again, like you said, Case, they're kind of a streaky team.
Yeah, the Wings, you know, lost 7 in a row there. Then they beat Buffalo, of course, on Saturday to end that streak. But then they lost to Pittsburgh, I think, the next game after. So they've lost 8 of their last 9. And yeah, like they've been a streaky team all year. They're one of those teams that it seems like every year is a streaky team. Like the St. Louis Blues, for example, in the West, you know, it seems like they just go from win streak to losing streak, back to win streak, back to losing streak. And that's what we're seeing out of the Red Wings. And Case, I got to tell you, man, you were sounding like Frank Saravalli there. I was listening to his pod the other day, the DFO Rundown, and he was calling it the Eastern Conference playoff pillow fight between all these teams that no one, you know, that second wild card spot behind Tampa is up for grabs, and everyone's just like, "Do you want it? I'm good." You know, like that's kind of how it is right now. So, but you know, with the Red Wings, I could see it. It wasn't, it, you know, it seemed like 5 minutes ago they were nice and tucked in to a wild card spot here, and they've let all these teams back in. You know, we talk about how down the stretch here it's going to be up to the Capitals. Well, up to this point, really, it was up to the Red Wings to either keep it or lose a handle on it. And to this point, they've lost a handle on it, and they're fighting just as much as the other teams are. So, you know, I like the Red Wings as well. They've had a long drought. They're a young team. Would be nice to see them get back in. Hope it's not at the expense of my team, of course. But, you know, would be nice for the Wings and their fans. I just wonder about the goaltending for me. Like, can Alex Lyon truly do this for the second year in a row? And, you know, we heard Elliot Friedman talk ahead of the deadline that Yzerman may have been looking at goaltenders, because behind Lyon, you've got Reimer and Husso, and they both haven't been all that great this year. So I just wonder about that for the Red Wings.
With the Red Wings, something to note too is that they've been without Dylan Larkin for a bit here, and he's supposed to come back pretty soon. I don't know exactly when, but that should be a boost for them, because, you know, think back to the start of the season, guys. The Red Wings for the first 20 games were like in the top of the league. Larkin and DeBrincat were the best dynamic duo in the league and atop the goal scoring and points charts. Like, if that or even, you know, some form of that can come back through these last 12 to 14 games, whatever it is, then that could be dangerous. And again, like I said, they're the only team who has scored more goals than they've allowed in this playoff race, which is just incredible to say. I just can't believe that that's a stat.
It is.
So Detroit has two things really going for them. One of them is that Larkin was to be out for 2 weeks, and that was March 4th. He was injured, or March 3rd. So they're expecting him back. I think Sportsnet has him as expected back tomorrow. So that's huge for them. You're on a skid and your captain comes back. Like, I have to feel like that's going to have some sort of impact, especially when it's Dylan Larkin. And on top of Larkin, they have Patrick Kane, who, you know, clutchness rating 99. He could be a guy that in this last streak of games, he steps up and scores some big goals, or, you know, tells them what they need to do to score these big goals. So that's kind of one thing, is the leadership between those two guys. And then the other thing is the fight. I can think of four team fights, like practice fights, over the last 10 years. One of them led to a Stanley Cup final. Two of them were the Detroit Red Wings, and one was Phil Kessel in Toronto. So, I don't know. Hopefully they can pull some sort of mojo from that and pull a St. Louis Blues and win the cup after fighting in practice, especially being a lower seed team. So I think that I've seen a lot of frustration, and they care. And that's going to turn this team around. They may have lost seven games in a row, but I still think they care more than the Leafs. You know what I mean? Like, they show more.
I believe that.
They show more care. So I still think that this team can make and will make the playoffs.
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, Sign Up Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether a brand new one, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully, because this ad is for you. Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their winnings. Thankfully, there has never been a better time to get signed up, and we are here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and their benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and when you register through our link, again, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, once again, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds out there, which is key to being successful and taking home those winnings, baby. So if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand all at the same time, it's a win-win, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through our link in the description down below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. One more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. Hey guys, Harp here from the pod. We all want two things as sports fans when it comes to buying tickets: to not be ripped off by scalpers and to have an easy way to do it. That's where SeatGeek comes in. This pod is sponsored by the absolute best ticket app out there, SeatGeek. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals on tickets to your favorite sporting events. It does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know whether you're getting a good deal or not. If the tickets are green, you'd better act quick and secure those things, but if the tickets are red, maybe wait a little bit before pulling the trigger and monitor the price in the SeatGeek app. SeatGeek just makes it way too easy. Anyways, here's the best part. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Click the link in the description to download the app today. And remember, to get your discounted tickets to your favorite sporting events using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek. Now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
So, I think you're talking me into it here. Go ahead, Harp.
No, go ahead there. I was about to ask Case for his second team that he thinks will get in. But no, go ahead with your point there.
Well, okay, let's do this. Case, I want to back up to a point you were making about a team who's going through a skid, whose captain could come back into the lineup and give them a boost. Well, how about a team who's also going through a bit of a skid, whose captain is healthy scratched tonight? Sean Couturier. Let's talk about the Flyers.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Flyers because I hope they get throttled by the Leafs today. I said that to you guys earlier in the chat. I'm like, man, just wouldn't it be so sweet for them to get absolutely smoked tonight? You take out your like two-way captain centerman and this is what happens. Like, I'd love that so much. I'm not a Flyers fan, I'm not a Tortorella fan by any means, so just to see them lose would be great. This team are a bunch of phony balonies, and I have them missing the playoffs despite them having some pretty high odds on Money Puck, as well as being in not a wild card spot right now is pretty big. But the points, they're not that far ahead. I think that, you know, they're going to have a large stretch of games with a guy who has only ever been a backup goalie unless he was in the AHL. So I'd like to see what's going to happen there. Like, can they rely on him for 20 more games in this season, 20 more big games playing against mostly, you know, divisional opponents leading down the stretch? They do have a relatively easy schedule, and the fact that they play Chicago, Columbus, Montreal twice, and the Devils, who I'm throwing in as an easy opponent right now. So they do have that going for them. Like, I don't have any faith in this team. I think out of the five or six teams we've mentioned, they are the worst team on paper, and now they've scratched their captain. So I don't know.
Well, and also they sold at the deadline. And if the playoffs were to start today, they would play Carolina in the first round and they would get absolutely obliterated. Like, I feel less confident about the Flyers than virtually every other team in and around the playoffs here who's sniffing around at this wild card spot or even the three spot in the Metro. I feel terrible about the Flyers' chances against Carolina. I mean, against most teams, I think Carolina is going to take that series, but I don't feel good about the Flyers at all. And, you know, like, you just look at the numbers for them, and they have the worst power play in the NHL. Like, how have they been skirting by? Their goaltending isn't good. You know, like you said, Erickson's been doing an admirable job. He's been playing a lot more than, you know, ever before, but he's not an NHL starter. And how much can you really rely on him going forward now that you've sold some pieces as well at the deadline? I think a coach can only take you so far. And I think we're seeing sort of the peak of that in Philadelphia. And I don't want to say they're going to miss the playoffs because they're the only ones currently in a spot right now that we're talking about, not a wild card spot, but it doesn't look good for them for sure. And I see other teams who are below them who are actually trending in the right direction, whereas I think Philly is trending in the wrong direction. So I'm thinking of Detroit, who's trending in the right direction, and also potentially the New York Islanders, who I know we're going to get into, but yeah, that's my thoughts on Philly. I don't know.
Detroit trending in the right direction is a phrase I didn't think we'd say tonight, but all things I just mean, them turning around. I know what you're saying. I'm expecting to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Before Thank some you. Keyboard warrior out there is all over you on that, I'm going to correct
Thank
that.
Thank you for protecting me.
Yeah. But Philly on a 2-game losing streak, scratching their captain, a tough lineup, like not tough lineup, but tough, schedule in terms of Metro division opponents, as well as the top Atlantic teams are coming up here for them. I don't like that. And yeah, like how long can you ride Owen Tippett scoring out of his mind and Tyson Forrester scoring out of his mind? And that center core is strange and they've sold at the deadline. And I just, everything's pointing towards them losing a bunch of games in a row here. And they've already started. They're 4-5-1 in their last 10. That's not a playoff record. They're gonna if they go 4-5-1 two more times in the remaining 20 games, or they have more, 24 games, whatever it is, that's not gonna fly. So it's it's less about Philly and it's more about, I think the other teams are better.
Yeah, it's also case they only have like 14 games left. Right?
14 games. Like, yeah, I went completely the other way with that. Not 24. But, you know what I meant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify. Before, Harp, I know you want to jump in. What I want to interject here and say, keep all of this in mind, because at the end of the episode, we each have to pick the two teams we think are going to be in the 3 spot in the Metro and the wild card 2 spot. So just keep all of these arguments in mind, and Harp, your thoughts on Philly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll be quick with this because we want to move this along, obviously. But, you know, Philly's been a great story this year. There's no question about it. Case, like you, I'm not a huge Flyers guy myself. But look, they've been a great story. And but I just think, like, you know, from the beginning, this is not how it was supposed to go for this team. And it feels like for a while now, they've just been kind of sputtering along, you know, maybe get a 3 or 4 game win streak in there. And then, you know, I think we're really starting to see a drop off. And again, like, you know, especially this late in the year, scratching your captain and, you know, it's just weird to me, because you would think that in the position they're in right now, I know, kind of hanging on by a thread in that third playoff spot in the Metro, you'd think that you'd be trying to reward your guys and everything. And I just don't get it. And so I think the wheels are going to continue to fall off here for the Flyers, which is okay, because they're a rebuilding team.
Yeah. And
or they
They should be. In my opinion, it went from, oh yeah, he's John Tortorello. He'll scratch anyone. That's what he is. He's John Tortorello. And now, with this Couturier health bomb, I'm like, okay, we get it. You're John Tortorello. You'll scratch anyone. Are you doing this for the betterment of your team, or are you doing this as a statement about yourself? I can't really tell anymore.
Yeah, it's clearly some sort of ego play. Like, I'm sure there were conversations between the two of them, and they didn't see eye to eye. And this is Tortorello saying, listen, I control one thing and one thing only. It's your ice time. And if I want to scratch you, here we go. But man, it's Sean Couturier. It's one of the best two-way forwards historically in the NHL. It's your captain, who you just named captain like a few months ago. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who missed considerable time and really plummeted your franchise when he was out with injury, and a guy who battled back into the lineup. Like, by all accounts, like, this is a dick move by Tortorella, and I don't get it. If you're trying to build something up in Philly, which who knows if they even are, it just seems like an odd thing to do.
Yeah, okay, so let's move. Ace, yeah, what?
Yeah.
Material.
You've got the Red Wings, and in that second wild card spot, so who do you have in that three spot in the Metro?
Yeah, I know I'm kind of flip-flopping from what I talked about after the deadline here, saying that this team lost the deadline, but I still have the Islanders making it in the third spot in the Metro. This is the best team on paper out of all of the teams we've talked about. They didn't Agreed. Buy. I hate that, but they didn't sell. And we're looking at teams like the Flyers, who sold. We're looking at the Washington Capitals, who sold Mantha, Edmondson, and Kuznetsov, which that's neither here nor there. But they sold. Everyone else sold or didn't buy, like Detroit, Pittsburgh sold, Buffalo bought, but like, I'm still not out here thinking that they're going to make the playoffs. I think it'd be cool, Harp. Sorry, I just don't think it's going to happen. just to put
the,
you down.
The odds are not in their favor.
The odds are not in their favor.
At all.
But when I look at the teams remaining and the team on paper, the Islanders are the best one. They still have a makeup of a good team. The system hasn't worked as well as it has in the past this season, but I still think that they're one of those teams that, you know, get them in the playoffs and anything can happen, and they know that. So they just got to claw and claw till they get that last point that gets them in the playoffs. You know, I still think that I think Washington has a real chance of taking that spot. But I read that schedule off already. Second hardest in the league. That doesn't look good. Plus the team they sold. I don't know how long you can rely on all of these guys clicking. Like, sure, I'm counting on Ovechkin to continue hot for the rest of the season, but I just don't think they have the gamers anymore. I think that they're a team that's always banged up, and these last 14 games or whatever they have left are going to be a battle, and they're going to get banged up. And I don't know. The Islanders are just built to be in the playoffs, and I think that they'll make it.
So I'm kind of shocked, Case. I actually agree with you on this Islanders take. I also think that they're probably the best position to make the playoffs. And the only thing that was holding me back from originally saying that is some of the numbers. And let me tell you this. Since Patrick Waugh was hired, they're 20th in the NHL in points. They have a record of 10-8-4 for 24 points in 22 games. But, and this is where, you know, I'm hoping that things are going right for the Islanders, because I'm also going to pick them to make the playoffs here. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10, and it looks like they've been playing slightly better under Patrick Waugh. We talked about a couple months ago how they were giving up an uncharacteristic amount of chances against. Well, they've gotten better in the expected goals against category under Patrick Waugh, dating back to, you know, the 22 games that he's been the coach for. The one thing that, again, is kind of a struggle for me is that their special teams aren't very good. Their power play is mid, but their penalty kill is literally dead last in the league. So that doesn't give me much confidence.
But if there's any team that you think will turn that around, it's the Islanders, right?
Exactly.
In terms of penalty kill, I don't know if they're ever going to turn the power play around under this system or these set of players, but the penalty kill with this decor and these like middle six players, why isn't that better?
And goalie too.
Yeah. So that's the last point I had to make about them.
Yeah. And I wanted to kind of just reiterate what you said about the other teams around them, all of whom sold, like going to Washington. You know, they sold Kuznetsov, Edmondson, Mantha. You know, you're not going to expect to get better after selling those pieces. Like, it's just that would be crazy to assume that you're going to get better after losing three of your best players, frankly. So I just look at the Islanders, similar to you, Case, and I think this team is sort of trending in the right direction, even though it wasn't a great start under Patrick Waugh. I think they're going to be able to make a late push. I'm taking them to make the playoffs. Not in the three spot in the Metro. I think I also have Detroit going there, but I think the Islanders can definitely get into that. What? Yeah. Who did I say?
You said Detroit's I have Detroit making third in the Metro.
Yes.
No.
Or sorry, Detroit in the second wild card spot. My bad.
Okay, there we go.
I'm getting my teams mixed up here because we're basically all racing for one spot. And then I have the Islanders going to third in the Metro.
Yeah, there. Okay.
Does that check all the boxes?
I was going to ask you if you're a smelling burnt toast for a second there. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about two teams here.
I loved that entire interaction between the two of you. I'm sorry. Like, can we just take a second?
It's so funny. It's so funny when you're talking, you just don't, like, you gloss over it. Like, you're saying the right thing.
Detroit has been in the Western Conference and the Atlantic Division, but they've never been in the Metro.
Yeah, I thought Detroit was in the Central. Better yet, Pacific.
Oh, that was great.
But yeah, I've got a lot of faith in Sorokin coming alive here and stealing a few wins, more so than I do Erson or Charlie Lindgren or Lyon. Or it's just like, if I had to bet on anyone, it's Sorokin. If I had to bet on any team here, it's the Islanders. I will say with Washington, I just want to call back to something Ovechkin said the other night, which was like one of the best captain things I've ever seen or heard. They said, how are you going to deal with the Edmonton Oilers with McDavid on one line and Draisaitl on the other? And he says, we have McMichael and LaPierre on different lines.
I saw that.
And I'm like, imagine being those two young guys and you hear the greatest goal scorer ever be like, I'm not worried about my team. I've got these two. I would be running through brick walls for sure.
That's crazy. Absolutely. I saw that too. That was funny.
Yeah, that's great. So Chad, you're on board with Case. You've got the Islanders in that third Metro spot and Detroit in the second wild card as we finally sorted out there.
Unless which is kind of wants to convince me otherwise.
it's kind of shocking, Case. I didn't think we were going to agree on both spots, but it's just like you look at the numbers, you look at how teams are going, and I don't know. That's just what seems the most likely to me, even though Money Puck says otherwise in terms of percentage chance to make the playoffs. Like, maybe we're disrespecting Washington right now, who, again, going back to the Money Puck odds, is at 53.4%, or even Philadelphia, who's at 77.6.
Well, man, I really had to bank this decision on two things, and that's the makeup of the team and the teams they have to play in these last, 14 games. And Washington has the second hardest. So if you look at it just based off schedule, I'm having Philly go in, but the Philly makeup of the team, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So when I look at ease of schedule versus makeup of the team, the Islanders are my favorite here. And Detroit is, not far behind.
Harp, where do you stand on all of this? Who are your two teams? Casey and I have made our points clear.
Well, it's a clean sweep for that third spot in the Metro. I'm going with the Islanders as well. Again, I hate to say it, but I do think that Patrick Waugh has done a really good job there, even though I know they've been kind of sputtering along here the last little bit, and they had a really tough weekend and a tough week in general last week. They played just a terrible game in Buffalo against the Sabres and had some other losses in there as well. But I really like what he's done. He's taken the handcuffs off of Matt Barzal, I think, and it's given him just a lot more freedom to just be who he is and, show that speed and offensive creativity and everything. They've got Horvat. Brock Nelson's a really underrated player. Noah Dobson is one of the best blue liners in the NHL this year. And, they just up and down, they have that lineup that can play playoff type hockey, you know, and especially one line, that Clutterbuck, Cizikas, Martin line, especially. And oh yeah, they have one of the best goaltenders on the entire planet. So in Ilya Sorokin, who you guys have mentioned. Oh, and by the way, behind him, they have Semyon Varlamov as well. So I just think, you know, top to bottom, it makes too much sense for the Islanders to, you know, not squeak in here and give a team some havoc in the first round, as they always seem to do. You know, I know that we're separated a bit from when they made those back-to-back conference finals appearances, and certainly don't see that from this Islanders team as they're currently constructed. But this team just looks too much like a playoff team, and I think they'll find a way to get into that third Metro spot. And agreeing with a lot of the points that you two already brought up.
Yeah, and if you go back to something you said earlier in this episode, is that these remaining games have to be played like they're playoff games. So if we're all gonna sit here and say that the Islanders are a team that anything can happen if they make the playoffs, while these last few, if we're saying these last 10 to 14 are playoff games, then my money's on them.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a good point. And with the addition of Patrick Waugh, you know, I mentioned that they're not giving up as many chances against. Yep. We've mentioned that, you know, Ilya Sorokin's one of the best goalies in the world. Well, this season, he's been like average by his standards. Like, he hasn't been that great. So I wonder if now that he doesn't have to face the most high danger chances against of any goalie in the league, you know, on a nightly basis, I wonder if now he's able to just kind of settle in and think to himself, okay, we're playing better defense in front of me. We're not giving up a ton of expected goals. I can just settle in, play my game, make the big save when I need to, but it's not all on me. So I wonder if that's what Sorokin is thinking, because we've seen some goalies who are historically good not be good this season, but then bounce back incredibly. Like Shesterkin is a guy who comes to mind. So I wonder if Sorokin has that in him through his last, 12 odd games or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And there are others too, right? Like, you could make an argument for, Jake Oettinger in Dallas is another one. And Vasilevsky has certainly had his ups and downs. Sorokin is right in there with that crop of elite goaltenders that can flip the switch at any time. So yeah, I'm with you guys. It's a clean sweep having the Islanders in that third Metro spot, and I've got the Flyers out completely as well, but I'm not going for a clean sweep on the second wild card spot, boys.
Thank
I'm
God.
Stick with yes. the Capitals. I'm going to stick okay. with the Capitals. So of course they're in that second wild card spot right now. It's amazing what they're doing, because it defies everything. Like, it defies all logic and what we've seen before. Like, teams that have good goal differentials get into the playoffs. Washington's is terrible at minus 27. It was minus 30 going into that game last night with the Calgary Flames, which they won 5-2. But look, they're finding ways to win games, as Elliot Friedman said on 32 Thoughts on Monday. They're finding ways to win games. I have been a big fan of Spencer Carberry and the job that he's done with this group all year long. They've had fantastic goaltending from Charlie Lindgren. And speaking of goaltenders who could come in and turn it on and give you something in crucial times, Darcy Kemper, I know he's not an elite goaltender, but he's got that experience, that winning pedigree from his days in Colorado, of course, winning that Stanley Cup in 2022. And so having a guy like that behind Lindgren, who again has been phenomenal this year for the Capitals, I think really helps. And, I know that they're not getting the scoring, but they're defending really well. And again, they're finding ways to win games. And I don't think John Carlson gets enough credit for being an elite defenseman in the NHL. Like without him, I mean, it's a totally different team. And even though they sold at the deadline, it's been really good for them because their young players are starting to take over. You know, like Case and Chad, you guys mentioned that quote from Ovi a few minutes ago. You mentioned Hendricks LaPierre in there. He has 8 points in his last 11 games, boys. Like, it's the LaPierres, the McMichaels, the Alexi Protases of the world. Like, these guys are really starting to take over. And this team really reminds me of the Nashville Predators down the stretch last year. They sold at the deadline, playing their young players, playing well. They obviously didn't get in. And, you know, the Capitals may just finish on the outside looking in. But I just really love what's going on right there. And if they can find a way to get in, it'd be hard for me not to pick Carberry as a Jack Adams candidate, because he's the job that he's done there with that group and all the odds stacked against them and their GM and Brian McClellan essentially throwing in the towel at the deadline. It's great to see the spot that they're in. And, you know, have to mention too that it's my brother's team. So, you know what, I'll stick with the team that's in that second wildcard spot and go with the Caps.
You know, if you didn't mention it, I was going to say, like, I think you're drinking too much of Emerson's Kool-Aid, but I just, for me, I initially penciled Washington in the playoffs when I sat down and started to think about it, but I just can't, I'm a broken record. I can't get by the schedule of playing Boston, Carolina, and Toronto twice before the end of the season, plus Winnipeg, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Detroit twice, Philly. I just, man, that's a lot. And if you're relying on rookies and for your scoring, it's just, that's going to be tough coming up here. So that's really the one thing that pushed me away from them the most. And I think that it is going to look a lot like Nashville last year. They did sell at the deadline and they will miss the playoffs by a point or two. And it's going to be like, I mean, hey, we got our assets and we made a push, made it fun, but
yeah.
I think the conclusion of all of this is that there is very much a race going on, call it a crawl or a pillow fight, whatever you want to call it. But there is some sort of competition going on for these last couple spots that are available here. And the fact that it's so close right now with less than 15 games left for every team means that it's going to be very interesting down the stretch, especially for those interconference and interdivision games. You know, like Case, you mentioned Washington having to play Philly and Detroit. Like, those are going to be huge games down the stretch. So I guess that's the conclusion of it all, is that, like, for the first time in what feels like a while in this, you know, wild card format, playoff format, whatever you want to call it, we finally have true races down the stretch, and there will be meaningful games right up until game 82. And by the way, I'm pretty sure Wayne Simmonds is having some sort of ceremony on the last game of their season. It could be, or their last home game at least. I don't know if that's game 82 for them, but like, that's going to be a really important game, and they're going to be charged up for that one.
Yeah, so they'll be jacked up for that one for sure. He's going to retire as a Philadelphia Flyer on that day. Yeah.
Interesting.
So just crazy.
Brave, by the way, have to shout that out.
Yeah. Do you know who that game is against, their last home game of the year?
Let me guess. Washington.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh.
So I thought for Washington.
Sure it was the Devils.
That's going to be a huge one.
That's the second last game, home game of the year, is the Devils.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, that's going to be a big one for sure. Well, boys, I think that's a good note to leave off on. It's just nice that we're seeing a playoff race right now, especially in the East, because all three of our favorite teams, of course, are in the Eastern Conference. And again, it's just great to see this kind of race late in the year. So anyway, there we go. The teams that we think will finish in the third Metro spot and in that second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Hope you enjoyed episode 204. We'll chat with you again next week. Enjoy the hockey this week as we continue to go down the final stretch of the regular season. Take care. We'll chat with you next week.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.